Hello, readers. My name is Catherine Dow. I am the author of Don't Feed the Troll and Tales of Monstrosity, the Brooklyn Dragon Racing Club, and Dragons of a Different Tale, 17 Unusual Dragon Tales. My short story, The Funeral Company, appears in Working Futures, 14 Speculative Stories About the Future of Work, and also appears in Lost Tales, Beyond Monstrosity. I'm also the author of Dave Miller's Flip-Flops of Destiny, which is part of the sister anthology to this one, and is called Enchanted Tales and Twisted Lore. I'm on Blue Sky and Instagram at the moment, but an updated list of every place I can be found online can be found under my name, Catherine Dow, at Linktree. The story I'm going to tell you a little bit about today, The Changing Tree, is part of the anthology Once Upon a Twisted Time. I wrote the first version of The Changing Tree several years ago, back when I was a government bureaucrat and working as a representative to places much like the village in this story. One of the things I've always loved about writing fiction is that it allows me to process my feelings about all sorts of things, politics, people, my own personality, my jobs, without hitting people over the head with my opinions, unintentionally hurting other people, or exposing my vulnerabilities to the general public. When I write a story, I can create a character and see what that person would do about a situation that alarms or perplexes me in real life. I can explore the complexity of what it means to be human, or in the case of this story, what it means to maintain your own identity. While at a music festival called Riot Fest a few years ago, I discovered an interesting publishing company called PM Press that publishes radical, mostly anarchist-inspired books. Reading some of their publications had me thinking about what it looks like to attempt to control your destiny and identity as a group in the face of overwhelming pressure to conform. I've always loved stories about tricksters and folklore, and in addition to everything else I wanted to explore, I wanted to celebrate the role of the trickster in this story. Here is an excerpt from the beginning of the story. Few villages on the planet Terminan had been conquered more often and with less effort than Amorium. Small and uninspiring, but centrally located in a lush and easily accessible valley, it was the sort of place that was conquered almost by accident every time a large and powerful nation passed through on its way to conquer someplace else. Amorium was once conquered twice in a single year by armies from the same kingdom who had simply forgotten in the fall that they had gotten the job done in the spring. Every home in Amorium was built with a secret room to hide in, with enough stored water, smoked meat, and dried fruit to last for weeks, or even longer if they felt like it. Whenever the thundering hooves of iron-clad war horses kicked up a cloud of dust on the horizon, most of the villagers grabbed their things and went to their cozy hiding places. However, the oldest people in the village stayed above ground and sat in front of their homes selling trinkets and protections against evil spirits to the passing soldiers. They wore filthy, urine-soaked rags instead of their usual soft, hand-woven fabrics. If they were missing teeth, they smiled wide, so the soldiers noticed. If they weren't missing any, they covered them in black ash, so they appeared rotten. By spectacularly failing to impress each army that passed through, the people of Amorium managed to keep a measure of independence and peace for themselves. They always lost some of their harvest, but they rarely lost their lives. The villagers gathered once a year under their sacred changing tree, which rose above the village like a verdant watchtower. The villagers whispered their requests to the tree and circled its massive trunk seven times. The tree shuddered and swayed in sympathetic communion. Prayers were spoken there, and blessings granted. Under its wide, leafy branches, the elders also held an annual election for a new record keeper of defeat, whose sole purpose was to keep track of which nation had conquered them that year, and if the conquering nation wanted anything in return for the favor. That was what passed for government, and that was enough. The 200 or so harried residents accepted this slightly unfortunate way of life as the price they needed to pay to live free underneath the branches of a sacred tree that burst with buttery soft blessings in the spring and dripped with earth-scented boons in the summer. Wild herbs and prickly sawgrass crowded the edges of every meandering path in Amorium. Vines heavy with large, lush berries spilled over the sides of every household awning, their honey-colored skins enclosing tart flesh. Amorium was the sort of village you could nibble your way through without ever having to stop for a cooked meal if you didn't feel like it. The villagers were happy together, and their lives were good. Good, that is, until one day when an army marched through on its way to somewhere more important than Amorium and left an official behind. So that's the end of the opening scene. When one of the empires leaves a bureaucrat behind, the people of Amorium are faced with an existential crisis, and it will be up to both them and the tree that protects them to find a way to survive. Thank you so much for listening to this excerpt. I hope you enjoy the full story and the rest of the anthology. Thank you.